What does God want us to say about witnessing? We talked about Matthew 28 and Acts 1:8 about we're supposed to go. And then we talked again in Mark and Luke about that we're supposed to witness. But I'm looking at today, what did Jesus say about it? How are we to proclaim His name? And is that a vital part about us being Christians? I believe so. It's part of our faith. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us about the story of Jesus witnessing and proclaiming all different places throughout the Bible. All four disciples tell stories about how Jesus proclaimed to others and how He was witnessed to many people. He crossed all different lines because He'd speak to the women. In fact, a lot of times in that culture, women didn't have the respect to be even spoken to. They would be spoken at. There's a difference. When you speak to somebody, there's a conversation back and forth. And that's what Jesus did. In fact, at the time, children were not valued very much. But Jesus would even stop and say, "Let the children come. I want to interact with them." He wants to be able to cross all cultural lines too. And we're going to see that. The Bible teaches that believers that hear the word of God and believe want to share and proclaim His name. His disciples tell about a story of a woman at the well. And as He shared the story with her, she went back to the city to tell everybody about how this person could be the Messiah and knew everything about me. John writes that she left her jar at the well because she was so excited to go back. Before I read this, I want to think about this. That jar that she had that carried the water was a valuable tool. It's kind of like leaving your car behind or leaving something that you would need to do your job. You wouldn't usually leave something that important behind. But she went out and said, "See, the Messiah is here." So let's read John 4, 28 through 30. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward Him. Just think about this, though. The people were coming out of the town. Now, this is Samaria that we're talking about. And I'll need to know about the Samaritan people. They were outcasts of the Jews. They were, a lot of times, half Jewish and then part of another culture. And being that for over 700 years, the Jews never accepted them in. They were kind of an outcast to be outside. It's kind of like saying that they would be mulatto. The whites or the blacks didn't always happy with that in the past. I'm glad to see that as America, we're becoming better, becoming a melting pot. But at that time, for many years, that would not be acceptable for a Jewish person to wanting to interact, as much less even to a woman, and communicate with her at the well. But it says in John 4:39 through 42, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of His words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. They confirm that He is the Messiah. Looking at this, the outcasted group, the part Jews, were being accepted by the Messiah. Do you know that historically you can see that the group has actually accepted Jesus Christ? It was 30 BC that this group accepted Jesus Christ. And it was an impact that it actually made the historical documents of the time and how they accepted the love of Jesus. And Samaria was changed from that day forward. Today's reading in the Bible verse that I'm really looking at is in verse 3 here. To be able to understand the proclaiming of the name and understanding what fellowship really is. And in verse 4, we're going to read about how it's completed with joy. A lot of us ask, I just don't feel joy in my life. Maybe we should ask, it's not about somebody doing something for you, but maybe it's about you doing something for someone else and you finding fulfillment. 1 John 1, and this is a package. That's why we read the whole thing. This is a whole grouping that needs to be read, not to read one verse out of context. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. It's the apostles that are saying this. We have seen Jesus Christ. We know who He is. We've walked with Him. He's told us about the Father. That we've had fellowship with Him. How many of you can actually say that I know Jesus Christ because He's moved in my life? David has just told us about how God freed him from cigarettes for 4 years now. Many of us have different things that we've said. If God, if you do this in my life, and He's done it. Many of us have seen God move in other people's lives, so we can be testifying to say that we've seen Jesus Christ move. And I think our joy becomes complete when we can tell others about that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and He is the one that brings me joy. We are to proclaim the truth. A lot of people like to say there's many ways to go to heaven. And Jesus Christ is very clear and says there is only one way. In fact, John 14:6 is saying to us, there's only one way through Jesus Christ. And we have to share that with others because, as Dan was telling us, because their perception is one way doesn't make it the truth. I mean, there's people that jump off buildings that say, I can fly, that don't make it very far before they fall and die. So we have to make sure that people know the truth that they're not misled. Matthew 4:19, as well as Mark 1:17, both talk about the same piece of scripture where Jesus said, come follow me. And Jesus said, I will send you out to be fishers of people. He was talking to fishermen that would understand that they have a calling to go fishing. They'd cast the net. And sometimes when you share the Word of God, you are casting the net out there. When you share the Word of God. And the Word of God comes back. And people will say, yes, tell me more. How do I be able to know more of this Jesus. But our society is saying to us sometimes that our testimony is not always accepted. When I seen this little bird holding the mouth over the other bird, or the beak, I started feeling about what's happening in our society right now, is that everything is tolerant except for Christianity. Right now, we're trying to be quieted. In the business community, they say it's right to be open to other faiths, right to be open to other pieces. But it's amazing on how they tell us that as Christians, we need to be quiet. But the Holy Spirit works deeper than that. The Holy Spirit works right down to be able to talk through how we walk. We've had people testify here on how they carry themselves in a way that others ask questions. The Holy Spirit is moving in their life, and others can see that the Holy Spirit is in them. For the way that they walk and they talk, and others say, "How is it that your life has changed?" And that's when they can speak up and say, "Because I have Jesus in my life." In total darkness, there is no light. In fact, there is no truth in total darkness. And sometimes I really believe that Satan wants to bring more darkness and evil into our world so that the light is being pushed out. And the perception that it is correct. But that's not the truth. Through that, the light of Christ can be shown. In fact, I'm going to read the second part here, Matthew 5:16. "In the same way, the light, your light shines before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Here's a few suggestions to come up so that we can be walking in the light. And looking at, are we having a God-centered worldview? Does everybody understand what a worldview is? It's the new college term, so let's bring you up to the 2016. The new catchphrase in college is a worldview, and how you see things, and that your perception can be correct through your worldview. Is that correct? Psychologists talk about this, and it's about a worldview is saying that, well, if you see it this way, it is correct. In fact, the worldview says that you can read text, and as you read it, you can determine what it really means. The author could be wrong. Okay? And that's an incorrect worldview. But colleges are accepting that and teaching that. And so, looking at that, we have to sometimes tell them the truth. And sometimes we have to help clean off somebody's windshield. Because, or their glasses. I see John Ives got glasses back there, so I'm going to pick on everybody that has glasses. Sometimes we may have to take off a person's glasses, even if they don't wear them, and help clean the bugs and clean the lies off them, so that we can help them put clean glasses on so they can see the truth. And the truth sometimes comes through relationships. We sometimes have to be a good friend to somebody to earn the right to be able to speak into their lives. Not to come all preachy on them and teachy. Is that even a word, teachy? No, I don't think so. But it works. Thank you. Because of, we are not a higher power than someone else. We are a sinner just like that. But by becoming friends and knowing where they're at and having that personal relationship, we can care. And through caring, share our faith. So, have relationships with others. Make the time to have relationships with non-Christians. Because if you only have Christians as your friends, how are you going to share your faith? We should be reaching out like Jesus did. Jesus showed us that his friends weren't all disciples. They were outside that normal group. And pray that the Holy Spirit uses you or uses me. You have to pray for opportunities. Because Satan isn't going to be wanting you to have opportunities. But pray for that opportunity where God can use you. And pray for the individuals that walk in your life. As you share the Word of God, pray that the soil that they are in is a rich soil. That you're not throwing the Word of God out there just saying, well, I'm doing my job. But maybe help that individual find a church that they can get nurtured in, cared for, discipled. So that the weeds of this world and the world does not make distractions and takes them away and kills that seed. And salvation comes through hearing the Word of God. Open the Word of God and share the Word of God, for the Word of God is what's going to impact them, not you. We're sinners. We're not that important. What an important piece is the Word of God being shared, because the Word of God never goes away void. The seeds that are planted by you may be harvested by someone else, or you may be blessed to be able to have someone come to the Word of God. But it's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul writes in Romans 10, they need to hear the Word and be taught the truth. Because the truth is what's going to clean the world's sins away, to understand the truth. And this is the number one thing that I hear from every person that gets to know me a little bit and says, in fact, I was told this last night, it's really nice to have somebody that doesn't just judge me. It's really nice to have somebody, I can't believe you, are you a pastor? Really? Are you a pastor? And I said, well, that's a license they've given me, and that's what the church calls me, but I'm just a sinner like you. Avoid being mightier or holier than someone else. Romans 3:23 is a really good place to look. For all have sinned, that includes me and you, and fall short of the glory of God. So don't preach down on someone, because we're not qualified to do that. Jesus Christ is the only one that will be judging us and God. We are brothers and sisters that are just sharing the Word of God that can redeem and heal us. So walk alongside people. Because you remember that a preaching atheist is just as bad as a preaching Christian. Because you're just preaching it and telling it and shoving it down somebody's throat. And that may have some place. But sometimes it's just, that isn't what Jesus did. He didn't go around. Well, I take that back. He did. When he's turning over the tables, he was pretty close at. So I recant that saying, because sometimes we do need to preach the truth and preach it very strongly. But it's in love, not in judgment and putting over people. Because we should be like our Father, and a lot like Jesus, reaching down and putting our arms around someone and loving on them in their time of need. Because isn't that what Jesus did for us? Each and every one of us didn't judge on us, but loved us. And through that love, we are find redemption. So what am I called to do as a Christian? What is my purpose? My purpose is that we pray daily for the lost. How many of us have people in our life that are lost, that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I guarantee each one of us have someone. Pray for them daily. For you may not be the one to bring them Christianity, but God can. Ask God for wisdom as we share His Word with others too. For as we speak, may it not be our voice, may it be the Holy Spirit and God speaking through us. I've watched different individuals in our church that as they speak, sometimes I'm going, wow, the words they are using, that's got to be from the Holy Spirit, because I don't see that person normally speaking like this. And tell others about the freedom from sin and that the condemnation put on us by the saints, by the sins of the devil, and how he condemns us and tells us, you know what, you're unworthy. That sin that you just did and that thought that you just had disqualifies you for being a Christian. That's lies from Satan. Return back to the truth. Live in a way that others may see your faith. Don't be shy. In fact, I heard about somebody reading the Word of God on break. And somebody said to them, you're reading the Word of God, why aren't you on your cell phone? And she was able to tell them that this is more important. Forming caring relationships. Really caring about someone else that doesn't have a faith. Sharing with them how your faith. We call these God moments. Sharing about how your faith has impacted you and how it can impact them. Tell them about how God changed something in your life. David told me on how God freed him just recently from cigarettes. And I thought, you know what, it was a perfect timing when these two gentlemen talked about their freedom in it. And I want to encourage them to keep going on that freedom. Pray for opportunities that God puts you in the right place. How many of you have been in a grocery store standing in a line and just are quiet? And you might even feel the tug of the Holy Spirit saying, just smile to that person behind. Or talk to them. And it's amazing when you open up and speak to someone else and you don't have to even tell them about Jesus. Just smile to them and say, how you doing? You having a good day? And let the Holy Spirit lead. And then sometimes cast the net. When you have that personal relationship and you're talking to somebody, cast the net out there about your faith. Don't be scared, because if you have a relationship, they're going to care enough to listen. And be led by the Holy Spirit. How many of us have felt that we should do something, make an action, or do something, or even say to somebody in the church, you know what? I know you're going through a hard time. Can I pray with you? A lot of us say, you know what? I'll pray. I'll keep you in my prayers. But do we? Some of you are getting to know that I'll just say, hey, let's stop and pray right here. I won't pray for you later in the week. I'll pray later in the week as well, but let's pray right now. I prayed right in the middle of a grocery store, on the side of a road with someone. I think the Bible tells us we should pray without ceasing. I've read that somewhere in that good book. But do we? Are we willing to really be used by God? And I have an exclamation point. Because we sometimes get so busy in this world, do we stop and realize that the world gets us so busy that sometimes we put God on the back burner or even in the back seat? Do we live our lives in such a way that others can see Jesus in us and the good news of eternal life? I like getting quotes from different people. And this gentleman is kind of like world famous for his hairstyling. In fact, we have a great hairstylist here that would probably love to fix his hair problem. But he only had that hair problem for his whole life. So it's kind of like his calling card. And Albert here was such a smart man. Too smart sometimes for his own good, because he was seeing that there is a God. He was an atheist to start with, and he turned agnostic because he realized that there had to be a God over all these things. But you know, this God was so big and so great that he couldn't have a relationship with him. But he had a great quote. The world is a dangerous place, not because those who do evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing. This is coming from an atheist person, but as a Christian, I look at this quote and say, yes, he had it right. For sometimes we as Christians look on and we do nothing. I think we need to go and do something. Make an impact for Christ. Talk about the good news and share the word of Jesus. And make it part of our life. And sometimes stand up in the gap and say, you know what? That's not right. And when somebody's being laughed at with a bad joke, and I don't know how many times we've heard bad jokes, being a meat cutter in the past and working in the meat industry, I have heard the most gruesome, gross, terrible jokes. And I've even laughed at them uncomfortably. But as my faith grew stronger, finally I quit laughing at them. And I quit becoming uncomfortable. But the people saying them become very uncomfortable. Because the truth was there. That they weren't funny. They were degrading towards women, mostly. 1 John 1:3. This is the verse that I really wanted to preach on today that came through that whole long section because we read it in one group. But this is the one I want you to walk away with. We, and that's the disciples, and that's us as Christians, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. May you share your fellowship. May you share the joy of that personal relationship with Jesus Christ with someone else. For that is your calling as being a Christian. It is your job. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that your word be heard. May it not go away void. May each and every one of us, even myself, may we change how we look and how we live our lives. And as we go into the word here, into worship, may we listen to the words. May the words of our worship bring you glory. And may we take a time of fellowship after the service. And may our fellowship as we have treats after the service be a time that we can reflect and even talk about the sermon. What did this sermon mean to you? Lord, may you be present after the service. And as we talk about how God impacted us through the service, may we share our glory with you and with each other. We pray this in your name. Amen.